opened your Bibles to the book of Joshua chapter 9. For those that haven't been here, we've been cruising through the book of Joshua for quite some time now, and we've just began chapter 9, and if you want a recap on that, you can go back and, on our website and catch that, because it would take me all day to recap on where we've been. But God has done amazing things through the nation of Israel, and he's used a dysfunctional group of people to take into a dysfunctional land that he had promised them that was perfect, but though there was things that they had to do to follow him. And we've seen over and over and over again just the what happens, the result of obedience, right? The what happens when we follow Jesus and what happens when we don't. They're completely polar opposites, and the results are completely different too. So last week we began this journey in chapter 9, and we took a journey. If you guys remember, we took this journey. We backed all the way back up to the point in our life where we met Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, right? Not that we're to look back, not that we're to do that, but we need to go back to that point where we became a new creature, because really everything that happened prior to that makes no difference. You can't change it. Nothing you could do can erase it. But what's cool is that when we meet Jesus, we inherit new life, eternal life. So really all that matters is from that point on. Okay? It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter if you're the vilest offender. If you let Jesus Christ into your heart and you accepted the free gift of salvation and have been made new, man, you're made new. The Bible doesn't say that you're kind of new. It says you're new. So it's not a, I don't know. No, it's, we should be eternally secure in that. So we talked about how, though, we're human and we still wear flesh, and from that moment on our timeline from salvation to this time now, that time of sanctification, that we make mistakes, right? All of us, if we were honest, we would all raise our hand and say, yes, I've made a mistake today, right? But the cool thing is that we don't have to stop when we make a mistake, because God wants us to keep moving forward. And we definitely don't need to go back. So when we make a mistake, what do we do with that mistake? How do we react? What do we run to? Because the enemy is seeking those cracks, right? We talked about those cracks and how nobody likes a leaky foundation, because the water will find the crack and it will come in and it will just wreak havoc on your home. And Satan does the same thing with us. He looks for those cracks, and he wants to come in and distract, disrupt, and destroy all that God is doing. And so this big group of kings, they came up with this great plan, right? They're like, hey, we've seen that AI took them out once. So I think if we all assemble ourselves together, and I don't really like you, but I'll like you long enough to go take out the nation of Israel, let's come together and let's make this plan. And we'll see how this transpires and the results of this later on in chapter 10. But they come. God found it fitting to plop these two verses, the first two verses, to plop them right in the middle of what was going on. Just as a little precursor. The thing is, as we're going to continue today, we're going to look at verses 3 through 15. We must be able to identify the enemy. The question that we need to have, the thing that you need to write at the top of your paper, or maybe in your Bible, is, can I identify the enemy? Am I able to identify friend from foe? You're like, well, absolutely I can. But can you truly do that? What the enemy doesn't realize is that God is a God of grace. And Israel, though they had made mistakes, they had dealt with the sin, right? Repentance had happened. And the same goes for us. We all make those mistakes. We all do that. But what we do with that, what happens afterwards, is what matters. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsake them shall have mercy. We want to cover those things up, right? We want to put a lid on that, because we don't want people to smell it, see it, be exposed to it. We don't want the repercussion of what it might be. So we just cover it up and we try to move on. Instead of dealing with it, giving it the boot, confessing it to the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever confesseth and forsaketh, that's a hard word to say, you'll have mercy. God will show you mercy, Because when we have sin in our lives, when the sin is just like a volcano in our lives, man, it's disrupting our relationship with Jesus. Though we can't lose that relationship, it's disrupting it. And he's like, let's deal with this sin so that we can keep moving forward. Because I'm going to keep moving forward, and he desires for us to keep moving forward too. We shouldn't lie in our pile of mistakes. Do we lie in our pile of mistakes, though? Or do we realize that God paid for those mistakes when he sent Jesus to the cross? And do we realize, man, I am victorious today? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, not as though you once did, not as the way the world does, but walk as children of the light. You were once dark. You once had a past. We all have a past. But now, if you're born again today, man, you're the light in the Lord. If you're born again today, you're on the right side. Because there's two sides, church, right? Discipleship 101, right? There's two families. There's God's family, and then there's the devil's family. You're on one or the other. Oftentimes, we try to stand like this, but we can't do that. It's impossible. So as we walk through this passage today, I want us to think about two things. Can I identify the enemy, and what family do I belong to? Do I belong to the God's family or do I belong to the devil's family? And I'm going to tell you this, just a little secret in case you don't know. When you were born into this world, sorry, you were born into the wrong family. You can't do anything about it, right? You're perfect little, cute little, squishy little, fat little baby, child of the devil. Some of you are like, yeah, amen, right? But it's true. No matter how cute, no matter how good a parent you are either, right? Man, my relationship with Jesus is the best relationship with Jesus that could ever be. And my child, he don't have to do anything because he's perfect, because I'm perfect. Nope, sorry, wrong answer. She was born into the devil's family. You can't change that, but God can and he will. That's what's awesome. If you place your faith and trust in Jesus, because God does not desire that we remain in the devil's family, so he sent Jesus to pay the penalty for sin, and Jesus dying for man's sins paid the penalty in full. Not a down payment, not just a partial payment, but fully paid for the penalty of sin, which is death, eternal death in the lake of fire. So today we're going to break apart this passage of Scripture, bigger passage of Scripture. I wasn't sure if we were going to get through it, but we're going to get through it. So in Joshua chapter 9, verse 3 through 15, I'm going to read that to y'all. Read it with me. Not out loud because that would be weird, but let's read this together. It says, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai, they did work willingly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now therefore make a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. We have heard of the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake unto us, saying, take victuals with you for your journey, and go meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make a league with us. This, our bread, we took hot from our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go to you, unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy, and these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent, and these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Father God, I pray today as we look into this passage, God, that you would be opening our hearts, not just our eyes, not just our minds, but our hearts to those that are around us. And Father, that we would be able to identify friend from foe. And God, that we would be able to identify the enemy from who you are. And Father, I pray that you just enlighten us, Father, grow us in your word today, and Father, empower us to go out and teach someone else as we leave this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this passage, as I was reading this passage, it instantly made me think of a passage in the book of Matthew, right? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching, and he's like, listen, there's some things you need to be aware of. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And as I was reading this passage and I was thinking about this crazy, crazy story that these folks dreamt up, right? That they put together in order to infiltrate, in order to slide in with the nation of Israel, in order to submit themselves to the leadership of Joshua, I was like, man, they're just a bunch of wolves. They're just a bunch of wolves. So the main point, like I said, for today's message is that we need to be able to identify who's in our family. We need to be able to identify the enemy. In our household, right? Some of us have bigger households than others. Some of us, our households are shrinking. But we can identify our family. Okay, I never mistake Shorty for someone else. I'm like, that's Shorty. Obviously, yes, okay. That's not someone trying to act like or be like Shorty because he's one of a kind. But the enemy's crafty. And you know what? He'll use things like that. Not that I'm saying someone's trying to. Shorty's an awesome kid. And I would kind of want to be like him sometimes. But I don't look like him. Some people say I do, or he says he looks like me. But he's his own identity. And I can identify him. I can identify my wife. I'm not going to mistake any of you women in here for my wife because she's my wife. I can identify her, right? Because I spend time with her. Because I know her. Because I've been with her for longer than I've been without. Can you tell a true Christian from one that's not? This is not our job. I'm not saying it's our job to say, you are not born again. No, I'm not saying that. But can you identify someone that says they're born again but probably isn't? Now, I'm not saying you should go say, I don't think you're saved. It's probably not a good thing. But can you identify them? One, so that you can pray for them. And two, so that, man, you're ready to minister to them. You know, and we have no ability to tell if someone's born again or not, right? Everyone in this room raise their hands, I'm born again. Hallelujah, right? Because you're the only one that knows for sure, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are or you aren't. It's not our place to say, yeah, I don't think so. So when Jesus tells them, right, when he says in Matthew, beware, be alert to your surroundings. Jesus was talking about those that were going to come in and try to blend in and start teaching false doctrine and start wreaking havoc. The nation of Israel was feared. Okay, we've read about that over and over again, how the enemy's hearts did melt because they were so scared of what God was doing through the nation of Israel. And even though the kings thought that they could assemble together and take them out, now we see the inhabitants of Gibeon say, I have a different idea. These kings, they think they're crafty and they think they can take them out. I have a better idea. I think I know how to do this. Let's try a different approach. We know the saying, if you can't beat them, then join them, right? If we can't beat them, join them. So that's exactly what they're planning to do. Not because of the reasons that we read in the text today. In verse 9, it says that they came from a far country because of the name of the Lord, right? Do you think that's why they truly wanted to join forces with the nation of Israel? They knew all the right answers. They could talk the talk. And that is exactly how the enemy will invade our lives. Right? I have a little bit of common interest with this guy. I'm going to use that to my benefit. I'm going to slide right in. And I'm going to distract and destroy. So point one is the enemy is getting prepared in verses 3-5. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that what Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai, they did work willily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet and old garments upon them, and all the bread and their provisions was dry and moldy. They were preparing. There was a time period, right, that they were preparing for this encounter because they didn't just wing this and throw this idea together at the last minute. There was a lot of thought process that went in to them on how they were going to infiltrate the nation of Israel, how they were going to slide in and make this league with them. The enemy is getting prepared. We see that they heard what God was doing, so they prepared by trying to change their identity. Verse 4 tells us that they worked willily. What is willily? It means craftiness. They were crafty little boogers is what they were. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." That word, subtle means the same thing. It means crafty. It means willily. It means the same thing. He's been this way from the beginning of man. And he will absolutely use man to keep it going, right? He will use man as a tool in order to wreak havoc. He puts the thoughts and intents into the enemy's minds, into the lost man's minds, and they want to seek and destroy all that God is doing. The enemy is preparing. Maybe you think the enemy is not preparing because he's not doing anything to invade my airspace, right? I don't even know if the enemy's real because my life is so perfect. He doesn't ever attack me. Maybe it's because you're not a threat. Maybe he's okay with the way that you're walking your walk. Maybe you are not bringing God glory, so he's like, that one's cool. I can go and I got that one right where I want him. You know, the Bible tells us there's going to be wars between nations, and that is what is already taking place in our text today, and it's continuing to this very day. The more wars that there are, the closer we're getting to the end, church. We know that. And the enemy has spies all over the place. And though the inhabitants of Gibeon had not, may have not wanted to join so that they could take them out, right? Maybe they weren't like, we're going to slide in here and we're going to take them out from the inside, right? That's not what they were doing. They could have, but that's not what they were doing. They changed the way they looked so that they wouldn't be identified, right? It says that they did work willingly and went and made as if they were ambassadors. They changed their identity. They changed what they looked like on the outside. They changed what their animals looked like. They brought food that looked like they had traveled from miles and miles away. There's a lot of thought that went into this. And they're like, we have to think of every detail because if we don't, Joshua's smart, right? And he's got this relationship with the Lord that ding, 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 we'll be identified. They knew that Joshua would be able to identify them if they rolled up looking normal, right? You're not from a different country, Jack. I know you exactly where you're from. So they changed their attire. How often do we change the way we look so that others around us will think that we're something that we're not? How often do we clean ourselves up on the outside so we look good, right? Man. We get all cleaned up and shiny so that we're welcomed in, right? And in fact, that's a problem with the church today, right? Is that you don't look right, Jack. You need to go get cleaned up before you come to church here, right? I pray that New Life is not doing that, right? We want everyone to come. We want everyone to hear about Jesus. We don't care what you look like, smell like. It doesn't make any difference. Now, maybe if you need to take a bath, go take a bath. That's fine, but God doesn't care, and we shouldn't either. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 17, it talks about that God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at what's on the inside. We get all cleaned up and shiny so that we're all welcomed in, but all the while, the inside's all busted up and nasty. But no one around us knows that. No one knows what's going on because we look good. We talk good. We try to act good, at least for a few hours a day, a week, whatever it might be. So we must be able to identify the enemy. We must be able to understand that the enemy is getting prepared. We should be getting prepared, church, right? The enemy's getting prepared very diligently, daily, every moment of every day is preparing. How can I attack that person? How can I sneak into that crack? How can I make a crack so I can get into that crack? And we should be like, how do I keep my temple without cracks? How do I walk with Jesus every day? How do I grow closer to Him? How do I stay so tucked up behind Him, the enemy don't have a chance? Point number two is, let's make a deal. Verses 5 through 13. Let's make a deal. Now, that's a game show. Some people know. There's always something better, right? There's always something that could be better. So we don't put our, you know, it's just like when they were getting ready to cross the Jordan River. They had to step in to the Jordan River, right? The priests that were leading the way had to step in. They didn't say, let's test the water here, and then let's go down here and make sure that it's this. No, it was time. All the preparation and changing their appearance was set, so now they make their move, right? The Gibeonites make their move. They went to Joshua, right? They went straight to the leader, which takes boldness, because they could have went to someone else, right? A less leader, and said, hey, we want to join with you. We're from a long ways away. And no, they went straight to the leader. They performed the script that they had in place. We've come from a far country. They didn't want to be identified as one that was from Canaan, because they were well aware of what God had commanded all the inhabitants of Canaan to be, that He wanted them all to be destroyed, right? Deuteronomy chapter 20, you can go read that, 16 and 18. They wanted to make a league with Joshua. That word league, we think of league, I think of sports, okay? There's a league. But that word league there is the same as a covenant. And I don't know if you know anything about covenants, but this is a key word for us to understand. They knew that if they could get Joshua to make this league, this covenant with them, they were good. And they had thought about every detail. And if they could get Joshua to agree, they wouldn't be killed if they were ever exposed. So they lay out this big, elaborate lie, well-planned out lie. Obviously, there had been some great planning. And they knew their role, and they knew when to speak and what to say. They came up with this plan to say, we're from a far country, not even mentioning which one, right? That should be a red flag, because Joshua says, where are you? Who are you and where are you from? And they dodged the question. From a far country, right? Probably one you've never heard of, because that's what liars do. They always have an answer. Should have been a flag, or it should have provoked more questions. Like, no, Jack, you didn't answer my question. You didn't answer where you're from. But all we want to be is your servants. But who are you? Good question. We already looked at verse 9, but again, it says, and they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. Of course, they're going to find some common interest. The reason they had come up with to tell Joshua why they had traveled to join them, because they had heard of the fame of the Lord and all that he had done. Really? Is that truly the true answer? But there's more deception, because in verse 11 it says that their elders sent them. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake unto us, saying, take victuals with you for your journey, and go meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore make a league. Make ye a league with us. The planning was more than just this group of individuals that were trying to get in. The planning came from the top of Gibeon, right? The elders, those that were in charge, they had thought of every detail. If they would have said, our king sent us, then Joshua would have known instantly they were lying. Right? Because if they're from a different country, maybe there wasn't a king. So they said, our elders and all the inhabitants sent us. They had thought of every detail, just like any good liar does. They want to make sure they cover every detail to cover their tail. And you know what? I used to think that I was a master of lying and deception. All the while, I was an idiot. But I thought, man, you guys have master's degrees and all these other, I have it in lying. Oh, I was absolutely wrong. All my lives were out and covered all the time, right? All the time. Before Jesus, after, didn't make any difference. They were exposed. You would have thought I would have been like, man, you're not a very good liar. No, I just kept lying. I would try my best to cover it up, just as they're doing. Our elders sent us and told us to take our victuals. They'd even brought some old dried up moldy bread, right? So this had to have been thought out for weeks, right? Hey, make us some bread because we need it to dry out and get moldy, because when we get there, because it's not very far, we want it to look like we traveled a long ways and we are starving because our bread got moldy because it was so far. That's how far a country it was. I can't tell you which country, but it was a long ways away. If they'd have showed up with some fresh bread and some good wine, man, it would have been spoiled. Completely spoiled. Point number three, not again. Not again. Some of you are like, not again what? Well, in verses 14 through 15, it says, and the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Not again. The men of Israel took the stuff that the men of Gibeon had, but they forgot to do what they knew was right again. They didn't go to God and ask him for counsel, because God would have been like, red, whoa, stop the wagon. These guys are deceiving you. Don't you remember what happened last time when you didn't seek counsel from me and 36 men died at the hand of Ai? Don't you remember that? Don't you remember that everything we do should be ran through me? They're like, man, this story is just, I mean, they can't make this stuff up. So come on in. Let's have a party. And that's what we do. And the enemy steps right on into our life. Church, we need to learn to run everything that we do through the Lord, not just big things, right? Like, okay, we're going to move, and God needs to show us where we need that. Yes, you should run that through the Lord, but you should also run your steps each day through the Lord as well. Not just big things, all things. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy path. When we learn that we are not the ones that are to make the decisions of life, when will we learn to fully trust God with everything? And I'm not saying that all of us don't do this, right? Some of us are like, man, we've run everything through the Lord, and hallelujah. But God is teaching us, church. He uses his word to instruct us, right? To correct us, to guide us. And Israel got caught up in the moment because this story was so believable, because every detail was thought out, because they had went through, they probably had like rehearsal practices before they're going, like, you know, that's what we do. And they knew exactly how they were going to handle each situation, and they covered every detail. These folks look fine on the outside, and their story even sounded great, but they didn't ask God if these men were true to their words. That's all they had to do, was say, Lord, are you cool with this? God would have absolutely exposed it. The church is under attack. And we let the enemy right in the front door. Even right into ministry sometimes, guys. Right when he wants to, right where he wants to be so he can distract, disrupt, and destroy. Because that's what he's out there doing. The text tells us that Joshua made peace with them and even made a league with them. It's all over now. It was all over. When he did that, they had success in their mission. They made it in the door, right into a group of people they did not belong with. And Israel let them right in. They should have been killed on the spot, but instantly they were now part of the party. They were now part of the nation of Israel. Though they weren't, they were. Gibeon had found success, and what a great plan, and what a well thought out plan. And you know, we'll see in next week and the weeks to come of why. But what happened? I want us to think about something. Again, can you identify those around you? The Bible tells us that we're to be known by our fruit, right? I'm a pear tree. No, those are not pears. I know what a pear looks like because I've studied pears, and that's not a pear. That's whatever. Can you identify that? Our walk is to match our talk. Maybe today those two things are completely different in your life. Maybe who you are at this very moment is not who you are on Monday morning at work, at school, or wherever you find yourself. The men of Gibeon were not who they said they were. And they made it in and ultimately saved their city. They saved the people of Gibeon. And we're going to see all of that in coming weeks. So before you go shacking up with somebody, I'm not just talking about like a man and a woman or a woman and a man. But before you go shacking up with somebody, make sure you know who they truly are. Make sure you can identify them, especially in the world we live in now, because people don't even know what they are, right? This is one thing that I talk to people about when they're, I think we want to get married. I think I want to marry this person. Do you know who they are? Do you know who they really are? Do you know who you are about to make a league with, a covenant with? Because that's forever. That covenant is not just for a season until you feel like it's, I'm done with that. No, it's forever. Till death do us part. And that's how God intends it to be. And the inhabitants of Gibeon knew that. They're like, if we can get Joshua to agree to this league, agree to this covenant, we're clear. We're going to save so many lives that are supposed to be killed because that's what God said that was supposed to happen to us. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag if I keep preaching, but Joshua didn't identify. And not just Joshua. The men. They couldn't identify the enemy. But they threw a party. Like, come on in. Let's have a party. And I swear that we'll make a league with you. Bad decision. Not what God intended to happen. But it's a result of not being able to identify those around us. So church today, just think about that. And I'm not saying that like the enemy's sitting among us. I'm not saying that. But can you identify those of the same fruit? Those that are of the Lord and those that are not? Can you identify the enemy from the Lord? Can you tell the difference? Because we should be able to tell the difference. Shorter message today, but just think about that. Just think about that this week, and next week we'll come back and we'll talk about the result of this league that was made. Okay, we'll talk about what happened after this. Because the verse 16 begins with, and it came to pass. Okay? Because God doesn't leave us on those cliffhangers. He's like, just keep reading, you'll understand what happened. That's what's cool about God. So let's pray.